What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 393, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With, of course, me is my co-host there, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Second, we've already been back from CES for almost 2 weeks. It's wild. Last weekend, I was like, I've been back. Like, it just flew by the week afterwards. And so, no, it's good to keep talking tech. I know last week we did like the review of our CES coverage. And
we did.
Yeah. The product launches keep coming and tech news keeps rolling out. You know,
there's so much stuff and launches all this week. And I'm not underwater. I guess a lot of San Diego was underwater the past couple of days, but I was not one of those people.
A video or two, I think. And
I guess I'm not used to this because I'm not from San Diego, or we can like handle rainfall back in Pittsburgh, but like here, anytime it rains just a little bit more than normal, like everything floods. So there was flooding all over the place. Some of it was like really crazy too. But like I said, hopefully everybody is okay and all of that. But no, nothing. I mean, where I live, one, I'm on the third floor. So if it's getting bad where I'm flooded on the third floor, there's some crazy issues going on.
Real trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. But on top of that, I live sort of like on the top of like a hill. So it's like never really an issue. But just crazy. It seems like last year when we got back from CES, and then I went away on a trip. But during that trip, there was all like crazy storms and stuff. I think like January is like the crazy storm time for San Diego, I guess. So, but yeah, lots to talk about this week. There's so much. I took a look at some really cool in products that I was like really. I didn't get to them before CES, and I like had really wanted to because they're just like cool products that I was just really excited to take a look at. So we'll start here with the Drop Alt V2. When Drop first introduced their alt keyboard, this was like 2019, maybe.
That's been a few years.
It's been a while. And that was when Drop was called Mass Drop. And the whole idea behind Mass Drop was there'd be a product and you'd sign up to buy it and then you'd get like a better price. That was like the whole idea of the website at the time. And it really turned into like really like kind of like keyboard enthusiast type stuff. And then it became Drop, and they eventually released their own made 65% keyboard. And it was at the time one of the first 65% mechanical keyboards that you could get like affordably, and that was already pre-built and you didn't have to like build it yourself at the time. Now there's like, I mean, you can get a 65% keyboard anywhere now, but back then it was like the keyboard. It had all the features that like all of these other keyboards didn't have. And it was, I would call it an iconic keyboard. Like if you were in the semi-custom keyboard game back then, you knew of the Drop Alt because it was like the keyboard. So over the end of 2023, they released new versions of all of the Dropped May keyboards. So that's their Alt, their Control, and their Shift. Of course, the Alt is the 65% keyboard that you can see right here. And this is my first time looking at it, so I didn't get the chance to take a look at the original, but they made a bunch of changes. As I said, 65% keyboard. The frame here is going to be CNC'd aluminum, so all aluminum all around and on the back. You can see that we have a sort of two-tone colorway here with sort of like grayish keys, and then I would call them like a darker. Like they're not necessarily black, but they're
like charcoal, maybe.
Yeah, just like a darker color on the outside. I do like the two-tone on it. You have PBT double shot keycaps. You have mechanical key switches under it. You have a hot swappable design as well. So you can, of course, you know, here's the switches, which are Drop's own Holy X Pandas or Holy Panda X. What are they? Holy Panda X or Holy Panda X Clears, which is a tactile switch, which is their own made switch. They are produced by Gateron, but they are their own switch here. And it's hot swappable, supports a 3- and 5-pin hot swap on this as well. So you can pull them out, you can switch them, do whatever you want. So like these are all features that the original, some of the features are what the original did not have, right? Like hot swappable and things like that. So you're getting all that, but the frame of this is just like, here's like the back of it. It's just all aluminum, feels that's really nice. And one of the things that Ryan and I both noticed when we reviewed their Lord of the Rings keyboards, which are based off one of their first gen keyboards, is that when you would type, you would get a ping. Like it would, the actual switch would ping off the chassis. And if you're using any keyboard for any amount of time and it's pinging when you're typing, it's very annoying. So they've added a bunch of sound dampening layers to this. That was one of the really big upgrades as well. So you have a bunch of sound dampening so you don't get any pinging or anything like that. It sounds awesome. We do have a sound test in the review if you do want to go ahead and listen to it. But no pinging or anything like that. Very comfortable as well. The original Drop had two Type-C USB ports. This one does as well. So on the top edge, you have one on one side and one on the other. You can use either of them to connect to the keyboard, but then the second one acts as a pass-through, so you can connect another device to it, which is pretty cool. So One, if you were doing a coiled cable and you wanted to go, you always hate when you buy a coiled cable and it goes one way and then like the connection on your keyboard's on the opposite side.
Yeah, and it just looks weird.
Yeah, so this gives you one, the ability to do that, but on top of that, it gives you the ability to maybe connect something else. Like this is a 65% keyboard, so maybe you wanted to connect an extra number pad, right? You can just do it with the type C there, which is really nice. So you have that as well. As you can see, we have this bar around the entire chassis. That is all RGB lighting. So we'll go to the lighting section so you can go ahead and see it. And you have this awesome, you have per key RGB lighting like any keyboard, but then you have this lighting that goes all around the outside edge of the keyboard, which looks amazing. They've also upgraded like the RGB PCB or like the actual tech of the RGB. So it has a lot of other features that the original does not have. And it's very easy to change the RGB lighting. One thing that they do have, which is really cool too, is that one, on their website, you can configure the keys and the lighting and everything like that, and then download the firmware, or they have software which essentially does the same thing. So, you know, and everything is saved on the keyboard, so you don't have to, like, if you disconnect it, and maybe even connected to a different host, not even your same computer, it's going to have all of those settings that you've saved. Because it's essentially like you're flashing the firmware every time you're upgrading it, or every time you're like updating your key maps or your RGB lighting or whatever it may be. On top of that, with the RGB lighting, it has like the full, whatever the PCB is on the keyboard, it has like the full set of effects by default. And like I was going through them, and there's like 35.
Oh my gosh.
Like, there's a lot
to store on board.
Yeah. So there's so many that you can go through, and you can, of course, change the speed. You can also change the brightness. You can change the actual hue and saturation of the colors. And you can do all that on the keyboard itself, and you can do it in software, but you can do it on the keyboard in real time as well. So
do most of those lighting modes like match up with the keys? Like you've got that outer border. Are they usually matched up with what's
displayed? Yeah, so the outer keys? Border is part of a lot of the lighting modes, but there are some lighting modes that turn that outer border off, and then It's just the keys itself too. So there's a ton of lighting modes built in. You won't get bored of the lighting. And as you can see, like if you are in the dark, it does provide a nice glow around the outside too. So pretty cool. It's going to look really awesome on your desk. Like I said, it is very small as well, but it does look good. And it does have like a floating keycap design where you can kind of see the key switches under it. They do have a high profile model where the actual chassis is larger, so you don't see any of that if that's something that you would be interested in. For those wondering, I know Ryan and I weren't necessarily the biggest fans of the keycap profile on the Lord of the Rings keyboards. That uses an SA profile, which is very high profile, and like if you've used like a normal keyboard, it takes a bit to get used to, and I was not a fan necessarily. This uses a standard OEM profile, so you're good to go. Also, their switches do use a Cherry MX stem, so if you did want to change out your keycaps, anything that's compatible with Cherry MX, you can swap out there as well. So really great keyboard. Like I said, we do have a sound test and review if you want to listen to how it sounds. I think it sounds great. One thing I didn't mention, which I thought was really cool as well, is that on the back here, you will see these little holes. And the reason there are these holes is because the keyboard does come with a set of magnetic feet that you can, of course, like you can see them right here, that you can put, you know, to give more of an angle. But as you can see, there's like multiple holes. So you can actually have this as like an inverse angle if you wanted to as well, which I thought was pretty cool, you know. So you have that there. The only thing I didn't like, because I feel like this is like a really, this is a really nice keyboard. Okay. And when I get a really nice keyboard, I want like a really nice cable, you know. And it just came with like a standard Type C to Type A rubber cable. Even a braided cable or something would have been nice. You know, of course, Drop has like a ton of coil cables you can buy and things like that. And maybe that's their thinking, like, hey, we're not going to put an expensive cable on here because we know that the end user is going to buy their own custom coil cable. Possibly. But overall, I felt this was a really nice keyboard. If you're looking for 65%, this is one of the better ones, I think. And I really like the upgrades too. Like we see companies upgrade their products every few years and it's like, oh, what did you really upgrade? But all of the upgrades, especially one of the most important, and I'm sure Ryan would say this as well, because we tested the other keyboards, is adding the sound dampening material makes like all of the difference in your overall typing experience, especially over time.
Yeah, that sound dampening is like twofold. Like it just sounds nice in general, but when it's fixing the issue of that pinging sound, it's just that much better, right?
And it makes the typing experience more comfortable, because if you think about it, if you're pressing the key down and you're hitting metal instead of hitting like a foam, like you can just like think of how that's going to feel. Like imagine jumping off like a 10-foot ledge and you're hitting like concrete, or you're hitting like foam. Like what's going to feel better?
Sure.
Yeah. Same type of thing. So I really like the upgrades on this. You can get it directly from Drop for $149. They also sell a bare bones kit, which I will bring up here that you guys can see. The bare bones kit is just the case with a PCB RGB lighting, but no switches. So they only offer the main one in their own, their Panda switches. Here, we'll bring that one up as well. Their Panda switches and then the Gateron yellows. That's the only options currently. So if you did have like a switch type you like, you can go ahead and pick up the bare bones kit that just looks like this. And they do offer two different colors. So I had the black one, which is this one, but they do offer it in a space gray as well. But overall, like I said, I really like this keyboard. I give it a 9 out of 10. Only things I didn't like about it is one, only two switch types available to get it as like a pre-built. And then the lighting around it, while I do think the lighting looks awesome, one thing that I do like to see when it comes to RGB lighting is, oh crap, I went back too far. When it comes to the lighting, like see how you can see each individual LED. Yeah.
Want more diffusion there.
Yeah, so I would have liked to see just a little bit more diffusion. You can make this light bar a little bit more opaque and get that out of the way. That's just for me. That was kind of one of the things that I was not the biggest fan of. And then what else did I put in here for my cons? Oh, yeah, just the basic rubber cable that you get here as well. So, but overall, great keyboard. I'm a huge fan of 65% too. It's like, it looks great on the desk. Small, compact, and you can easily take this with you too. which I really like. So go ahead and check that review out. And one thing that we've seen over the past couple of years are these extension cables, these power extension cables for your graphics card, for your 24-pin ATX that has lights on them. And it's like, especially, I think they got incredibly popular when, like, it was just like, let's RGB everything.
And, everything, yeah.
You know, and there are a bunch of companies that make them. I do believe Li & Li was the first. And
I think so, because I feel like we saw them at, like, my first or second CES. I feel like we saw them at CES 2018, yeah. And they had just released them or were just about to come out with them.
Yeah, so they sent us their Streamer Plus V2. So this is like the second generation of these. And they're pretty cool. You can see kind of what they look like here. Check out the review for all the images and everything like that. But essentially, they sent us a 24-pin ATX power extension cable and a dual 8-pin PCI Express power extension cable. And essentially, these have... you know, it's just a like a normal extension cable. So I'm sure a lot of you, if you didn't go this route, you went the route of buying from like Cable Mod or somebody else who has like colored, individually sleeved power extension cables. This is the same thing, but with lights. So basically, they have these little lights, ropes, I would say, that go along with the individually sleeved cables. And those light up and they have multiple ARGB LEDs inside and you get something that looks pretty amazing. So the big difference with the 24-pin compared to all of the other extension cables that they do offer is that the 24-pin acts as sort of like the base station because it comes with a controller. So as you can see, the 24-pin comes with this controller. This controller allows you to connect one, the other cables to it, and then two, connect the controller to your PC so you can control the lighting with software. Now, if for some reason you didn't want the 24-pin, one, you can buy the controller separately. But on top of that, each one of these cables will come with an adapter. So on the end of each one of these cables is a proprietary connection. But with each cable, you do get an adapter that adapts it to a normal 3-pin ARGB so you can connect it to your motherboard or other controller so you can control it that way. But that's a big difference. So if you are thinking about getting these cables and you want like their software, you have to get the 24-pin or, like I said, you can buy the controller separately. But these cables, like I said, they're, as you can see, there are those, I call them ropes. It's like little ARGB ropes that kind of go along. And then you have your connections on each end. And you know, they're super simple to install. You just install your normal power supply cables to this, and then you connect these to your motherboard. There's a close-up of those, you know. And I really like the implementation. Like, it looks so clean and nice, which I really like with these.
How flexible are these? I know some of them in the past have almost seemed like they were pretty stiff. Are these pretty
easy to work with? They're not as flexible as like an individually sleeved cable, right?
Yeah.
Because you have this essentially is like one big piece with the
lighting strands.
Yeah, with the lighting strings on it. But you can bend it. As you can see, once I have these installed, like you can bend these pretty easily. And again, like the string is, it's not going to break or anything. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So, like, I mean, here you can see them bent, and they do come, each cable does come with two cable combs as well. So it'd help you with keeping the bend the way that you want it and all of that. But like I said, connecting these is very easy. So here's the controller on the back of my system. It comes with a micro USB to internal USB 2.0 header. So that goes into your motherboard. It uses SATA for power. And then we have one, the main 24-pin goes in right here. And then the dual 8-pin goes here. There's also another connection over here. If you wanted the triple, they sell a triple 8-pin for like a really high-end graphics card. Or they just came out with the 12VH PWR power cable as well. The only thing is that you can only have one of these turned on at a time, which I think is fine because, I mean, nobody's doing dual graphics cards, right? Like you're not doing two graphics cards. And again, if you have the dual 8-pin, you need one more, like you would just buy the triple 8-pin cable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So very easy to get everything connected. And as you can see, like
the controller brought back, I don't know about you, and if you used the instructions, or maybe they've improved them from Lee and Lee, but that's the same controller, I'm pretty sure, as what was in one of the all-in-ones that I reviewed last year. And the instructions were terrible with like how you had to connect what, but it might be better with this product.
No, for me, the instructions were very easy to follow. Good. It's kind of like, and what's kind of nice about this controller and these cables is like the 24-pin cable is like is wider than the extension cables. So like it can only go in right here. Right. So it's not like you know, so it was very easy to follow.
Cool.
So yeah, so here's like, you can see how I have, you know, my power supply cable just going into the extension. It's just like a normal extension cable, super easy to do. And you said like how flexible, like these bend pretty well to give you like a good bend. You can see I have the cable comb right there on the back of that one. And then you can see this one right here. Again, it's just a nice bend. And then, you know, this is what it's going to look like when you turn on your system. Very bright. And of course, you can adjust the brightness and do all that kind of stuff. But yeah, they look absolutely awesome. Definitely going to light up the inside of your system, which is great. And then this is like the L-Connect 3 software. Ryan's familiar with this. And if you have any of Lee and Lee's products that use lighting, you'd be pretty familiar with this. Gets detected right away. And then you can control the each one individually. You can control them all at once. There's a ton of different effects. And see how it says like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These are the strings, right? So these are the strings. So you can change each individual string to do whatever you want it to do. So you can go ahead and do that. So again, I think most people would stick to like the effects, but again, you can really customize this however you want. I have a video here that has like,
I thought the wave looked really cool. If you would have reversed the lighting, so it can almost make it look like power is like going into the system.
Yeah,
you can reverse that lighting, you know?
I did do that on one of them.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, I did it because on each effect, you can change the speed, you can change the colors, you can change like that one's like going in and out and stuff like that. Yeah. But I have a full video going over all of the different effects and what they look like, but I think they look awesome. Definitely like a nice thing to add into your system. You know, and fully customizable. Like if you don't want the crazy effects, you can just make them one color, or you can make them like just do a simple kind of slow movement or whatever. And if you don't want to use a controller, there's a pass through on the controller as well, where you can just have it connect to your motherboard, and then you can just use your motherboard's software, and then you can match everything up in the system to do the same effect as well. So a lot of cool stuff you can do with this. I really like these. The 24-pin is currently $62.90. The dual 8-pin is $41.90. And like I said, there's a triple 8-pin, and then there's the 12VH PWR for ArcGX 40 series cards. So I think it looks awesome. Great addition to a system. I didn't find any real issues with it. It was just,
cool.
Good overall. So real quick in the chat, because I don't look at the chat. We have Corey in the chat, of course, my buddy Corey, and we have Nelson from Florida in there as well. So yeah, let's move on to power supplies. And we took a quick look at some of the Yiyin Pegasus ATX 3.0 power supplies. Of course, everybody's hearing ATX 3.0 and they're wondering like, what's the difference? Like, what do I need? Do I need one of these ATX?
Yeah.
If you have a new RTX 40 series graphics card that uses the 12VH PWR power connector, these do, one, they have the direct connection, so that's really nice. But on top of that, the ATX 3.0 standard or specification has a lot of power specific things and protections that will help, because especially if you have a 4090, it's going to power spike almost, that connection. And obviously we had, what do we call that? Meltgate
or whatever. Yeah. Something like that.
And a lot of that had to do with not having power, because you would get that massive amount of power going through. Right. So ATX 3.0 fixes a lot of that. Like I said, you do get the direct connection, and Yian has their Pegasus line, which is ATX 3.0. The big difference with these Pegasus power supplies is that the 850 watt is going to be your 80 plus gold, whereas the 1000 watt is 80 plus platinum certification. So that's the big difference. Essentially, they're the same power supply. So they look the same. They come with the same amount of cables. And everything like that. So flat cable design, which, are you a fan of the flat cable design?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I do like braided cables, like individually sleeved, right?
Yeah. But
they're typically not going to come with a power supply. But yes, I do like the flat.
I think they're, especially for the back of your, like if you're trying to route all your cables on the back of your system, especially if you have a case that has like just not a lot of space,
yeah,
having the flat cables definitely helps.
There's like sometimes though, when like the flat, you can't bend it the one way as easily
as you can
with like a loomed cable. But most of the time I do like a flat cable.
Yeah. So you have, like I said, they're essentially the same power supply minus their certification and of course their capacity. And they're small. Especially for like, once you get over like 1000 watts, some power supplies get longer, and then you get, you know, you think you have like this ATX case, right? And this ATX case supports ATX power supplies, but your ATX power supply is just a little bit longer. We actually reviewed some cases last year that we had this problem in, where like our power supply was like not 155. I think it's like 155 is like the standard. It was like 160, and then we had some issues. So these are like the appropriate size. Again, both units are the exact same size, 140 millimeter cooling fan on these. And then for the connections, everything's labeled, which there was like a while where like these weren't being labeled on some power supplies. But everything's labeled. You can see the 12 VH PWR power cable here. And again, that's a direct connection. No adapters needed. That was a big problem with Meltgate as well, was people weren't plugging those adapters in correctly. So you have a direct cable into the power supply, so you're good to go. So yeah, just good
on that labeling, pull it up again. I don't like how they've combined the PCIe and CPU, right? Because you used to have your 24 pin and then you'd have like your 4 or 8 pin CPU.
Yeah.
Right, and they would separate that from the PCIe typically, which is what I prefer. I don't like the grouping of PCIe and CPU.
I think it's because they're interchangeable.
They are. I just wish that, like, for someone else, they're like, do I need to use, like, I don't know. I would prefer to have it separate. But
no, yeah, I know what you mean. Why. Yeah, because when somebody sees PCIe, they might not even see the CPU, and they're like, wait a minute. And then, especially like a first-time builder, like they're like, oh, what's a...
Exactly.
What's a EPS connector? Like, what is that? What's the CPU?
Right.
Where and do I plug this in?
They're usually in that spot in that top left corner of the motherboard where if you're not like familiar with it, it's your first build, you may not even see it because it just kind of blends in up there, especially if you have like a large heat sink for VRMs and a large like shroud over the IO ports.
I would actually prefer that as well. Just like I said, pretty solid power supplies overall. And like, I have to say, like the unboxing, do I have pictures? Like the unboxing experience is like really nice. Like their packaging is like really, really nice. So if you're looking for a new ATX power supply, we talked about Yian last week and all of that as well. So they have some really cool stuff coming too. So definitely a brand to watch out for this year.
I don't know if you saw the question in chat was, what are the symptoms if you have an underpowered power supply?
Do you mean that your system is pulling too much power?
Or if a power supply maybe doesn't have enough for the components in there.
Your system will
restart. Is what I'm guessing.
Your system will shut down.
It gets to a certain load amount and you're going to.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like your system can't handle it. And most motherboards do have protections and things like that will just shut it off. Like it will just turn off. there are, like, if you're getting a power spike, that usually power spikes will also turn the system off. But if they don't, you will see, like, your screen turn on and off because your graphics card, like, you know, and there's, I have seen times too where, like, a graphics card will essentially restart itself. I've seen that happen as well.
They said he has built a 5800X3D and a 6700 XT with a 650 watt power supply. Like, that's on the low end, because I had a 5800X3D in my 2070 Super, and I could tell that I needed to upgrade, and I ended up doing that. So if you upgraded to a more demanding card, you'll definitely want to go with more watts.
I think for most people, especially these days, and again, you know that, like, if you're getting, like, again, like a 4090 or something like that, but I think just, like, because I remember back in the day, like, oh, I'll just get a 1000 watt, you know, but I think really now, like, 850, if you're doing, like, again, like that type of build, like the 5800X3D and a 6700XT, you know, just to give yourself some headroom too, because maybe down the line you want to add an AIO or something like that, that where, like, that pump is going to use more power than, you know,
sure,
than something else maybe, or something like that. So, or, like, you know, people, you don't think too, like, oh, you know, I have two fans in my case, but I'm going to add four more, or I'm going to do this. Like, you want some headroom, because again, things will spike, and you, especially like Intel processors and NVIDIA graphics cards, like, those are things that will pull more power than they said they say that they will. Yeah. So yeah, I would say, like, just again, for most people, get an 850. That will, one, that will like future proof you.
Yeah, unless you're building like top end CPU, top end GPU, then 1000 is a closer, better bet. But yeah.
But thanks for the question. Like I said, I mean, those, like I said, if
PC part picker is also another awesome.
Yeah.
Site that'll help you, like, put all your components into a build and show kind of the expected wattage and some recommendations on power as well, which is always helpful.
That is, that was always the thing too. It's like, okay, what do I need? Cause it, like, it tells you that's like, whoever came up with that. And I know it's like to make money, obviously, cause, like, they're getting affiliate, but, like, it is pretty accurate when it comes to, like, okay, here are the parts, and it will tell you not even like the wattage of the power supply, which is great, but it'll be like, oh, you missed the part. Like, you make sure you get this, especially for, like, first time builders, which is really nice there as well. So we'll move on from there to, I posted I'm sure you guys got really sick of all the CES videos we were posting on the channel. So I did a video here, which I'll bring up, of our, Cooler Master Master Air MA824 Stealth, which is right here. You can check it out on our YouTube. I don't know if it's our first or second long form video of the year, but yeah, best. We talked about it when we did the actual review at the end of 2023. It was the best air cooler that we tested in 2023, and it still has that title. So, just a great overall CPU cooler. So check out the video there, and then we'll move on to K-Spot Friday. And we have a really, really cool build, and it's a desk build. And typically, what's the thing you see, like, on a desk build? We typically see the PC being built into the desk, right? There's usually a window or something, and it's in the desk.
It's usually like a box and glass on top most of the time.
Yeah, this one is a little bit different. So this one has the system on the top, and it's one of these desks, which I almost splurged on a desk like this, like a couple years ago.
Is it Live Edge?
It's a Live Edge with the resin in the middle.
Yeah.
So one, this is from Simple Mods and Tag Mods. They did this together, and you can see, like, the Live Edge desk here, and there's like a resin in the middle, which is red, I believe. I really wanted one of these desks that had, like, it looked like the ocean in the middle.
Yeah.
That was what I wanted. Yeah. Cause I was like, oh, it can't be that much. And then I looked, and they're like, oh, and for the size. So, like, I wanted a 70 inch, 71 inch wide desk. And it's like, oh, 6,000-7,000. I'm like, yep. Nope. Not going to do that. But But the cool thing about this one is they have this sort of platform built to display the build, right? So here's all the build here. And it's nothing absolutely crazy. Of course, it is water cooled, but it's just a display piece, which is really nice, I think. And then they have a monitor arm, of course, bringing the monitor over it. But it's a really great way to display the system, I think. And one, you're not running out of desk room because this is a really big desk too, as far as like surface area of the actual desk here. You can see that resin in the middle. What do you think of this one, Ryan?
Do you want the truth?
Sure.
I think it's hideous.
You don't like it?
I hate it.
Oh, I actually like it.
Well, it reminds me of the wall PCs where people put just components up on the wall. Okay. Now okay. It's just like on some gaudy. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. I like the table itself with the acrylic in it, but I don't like the surface mount build.
I do like the surface mount because one, it's so easy to clean compared to like,
I guess,
so easy to clean. And it puts it at an angle. I don't know. I like the way it looks. I think I would pick different like
materials
on it. Yeah, but I do like it. I actually do like it. Yeah. So, and again, like no key, hardly any cables because it's all behind here. I like that for sure. So yeah, check this one out. Again, this is from Tag Mods in Simple Mods. But overall, like I said, I like it. So yeah, let's move on to news. So not a ton of news this week because most of our news stories had to do with the 4070 Ti Super, which launched yesterday, I believe. And then the RX 7600 XT, which launched today. And we were supposed to have a review of it today, but I haven't even got the card yet because things got messed up and I haven't, it might actually showed up. Let me check my messages. Nope, hasn't showed up yet. And that's another thing. Since the new year, DHL is like, I would get stuff like noon. I get stuff at like 9 p.m. now. Huh. Like yesterday I had a DHL delivery. It came at like 9 p.m. And this one hasn't, he's not even close because I get a text. It's like, oh, your driver's close. And I haven't got a text at all. So, but yeah, my 7600 XT should be here today. I'll probably get the review done by maybe Monday, depending. So that's when I'll have that out.
We'll get one.
Yeah. But that was most of the news stories, but there are some pretty interesting stories. And I think one that you really might be interested in, Ryan, because you have been looking at new graphics cards. You know, you've been thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Radeon RX 7900 XT. That is their top of the line graphics card, right?
Well, the XTX.
Oh, the XTX. Yeah. Sorry. But this is like in that, in that realm. The official MSRP was lowered to $749, but it's even lower at $710 on Newegg.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of models that are way below the MSRP. I mean,
I had mentioned like when it came out, I was like, okay, this might be the card I go with, but I wanted to wait till after CES to see what the, you know, what we were going to get. Were we getting supers? What were we getting? And I looked at, you know, some of the 4070 Ti super reviews that just came out, and this card beats it a lot of times, depending on resolution and the title, but they go like back and forth a lot. And especially with this price cut, it's a very like tempting buy. Yeah. That being said, like I committed to a family vacation in March. And it's like that the cost just keeps going up for this trip.
I hear you.
And so I'm kind of like, well, I guess I'll hold off for a while. And then I'm like, well, does that mean then I just wait for the next Nvidia series to come out or the next AMD?
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I think right now this would be the card again that I would go with.
Yeah. And like I said, there's a ton of models that are well below that MSRP. And for what you're getting, 20 gigabytes of GDDR6 and the performance that you get. And as Ryan said, beating some of the NVIDIA cards that are priced semi around the same price. It's a good buy. I think, and it's good on AMD for dropping the price too, right? Right. You know, so really good to see that. We'll see how that shakes out when we have we have more NVIDIA supercards coming out this month as well. So talking about a card that should not, I don't think, should ever have been made, because shouldn't have. And we've seen this with the RTX 4070. So Galax came out with a RTX 4070 Super Hall of Fame OC card with the full-on white PCB, which is awesome.
Yes.
But it's a 4070.
Yeah, I just...
And I get, like...
I like seeing this from the top-level card, right? Because what's the price on it? Do we know what that is?
I don't know.
Because I'm guessing it's not cheap.
That's the thing. It's like, this card is going to come up to the next card in price.
Exactly. But you're not going to get the performance of it. You might get close, but you could just spend that little bit more and have a better card.
Yeah.
It looks good, though. I like it.
It looks really good. White PCB. This one doesn't have the screen like the 4080 and 4090 do.
I like the white power connector, too.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, 12.
Looks cool.
Yeah. Heavily overclocked, obviously. It's just a 4070, though. That's what I mean. It's like, you love to see these high-end cards with the high-end SKUs, because it's like, okay, this is the best of the best of the best. And it's like, okay, this is the best 4070, but it's a 4070.
It feels predatory, right? Yeah. Almost. They're like, oh, we're going to make this awesome version of it. But there's cards you can buy that are better, that, you know, are just a little more.
Yeah. That are like the standard version of the next card.
Yes.
Talking about Asus. Asus had some cool launches this week. One that was at CES, but we didn't really see it all that much because we were running around their suite. So they released their Falcheon RX Low Profile optical keyboard, optical switches. If you're not familiar with what that is, basically the quick way to explain it: here's a laser. When the switch goes through the laser, it cuts off the signal, and that does your signal. Actually, optical switches are faster than mechanical switches, and they don't suffer from some of the issues that mechanical switches have. But they still, most of them are designed to feel like a mechanical switch, so you still have really good overall like feel and that nice sound that you'd want as well. But this thing is awesome. I've a couple of my friends actually got it to review, and they love this thing. And it's like a tri-mode keyboard, so it comes with a 2.4 gigahertz dongle. You can use it Bluetooth. You can use it wired. The white design is awesome on it as well, and it's low profile. I know you have a low profile keyboard that you use at work.
I wish we would have seen this a little more when we were there, but it's tough to get everything in an hour, right? Especially at Asus. This is cool.
Yeah, it's a cool little keyboard. So they released that, and they released another thing that I'm actually super interested in. This is their USB 4 add-in card. So MSI released theirs all the way back in Computex time. And Asus finally put out theirs. It's simply called the USB 4 PCIe Gen 4 card. Basically, it's an expansion card, as you can see here, that plugs into an empty PCI Express slot. And it's going to give you two USB 4 Type-Cs and two display ports in case you were going to connect a display to these USB 4s and daisy chain them. Also supports 60-watt power delivery on here as well. So I always say I like super fast storage. This is going to give you super fast storage on an older platform that might just have USB 3.2 Gen 2. This will give you USB 4, which is essentially Thunderbolt 3. So I think it's Thunderbolt 3 speeds.
I think so.
So yeah, and it just looks like a little graphics card, has 6-pin power over here. to power it. So yeah, it gives you that super fast storage. No word on pricing just yet. They just put it on the website. So
that's cool.
So yeah, so nice little add-in card there. Now, this is something I also thought you would be interested in, Ryan. Okay. And it comes from a company that they do make AIOs, but not so much in the America market. Scythe, who made one of my favorite air coolers of last year.
Yeah.
This popped up on Chinese forums, and it's an AIO from them that looks, just, I mean, like, what do you see here? You see an inline pump right here.
Yep.
You see a block that's one tells you that this is not Asetek made or anything like that. This looks like a real block. Yep. I assume that's a screen there. And it, you know, these fittings make it look like it's something more custom made type thing. If we, you know,
the fittings on the yeah, they definitely look like you could take them off to either expand or.
Yeah.
Adjustings. Okay, so that's a cover on the top that was taken off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to the right there. Okay.
Yeah. So I assume this is a screen.
Yeah, you would think so. What else would it be?
Yeah.
Because like I said, it's not like a reservoir, and you can see liquid in there. So.
Yeah. Interesting, to say the least. Because again, almost every AIO you see is made more or less by Asetek, and they all kind of look the same with the pop. With a pump block here, but again, the pump's over here, it's an inline pump, and then you have this sort of display here. But no word on when this will come out, if it would even come out in the United States, because Scythe doesn't, all of their AIO products, I don't believe they've put any out in the United States. It's been all air coolers. So don't know when this will come out, but I think for an AIO, it's definitely a different design, right? It's not an Asetek.
It's a little like clunky, I guess I would call it. With the, I'm not a big fan of those inline pumps, just because how they end up looking. I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, I think if anything, if you kind of if you wanted to achieve this kind of more low profile look, you would somehow put the pump
or get the pump on the end, exactly.
Yeah, on the radiator somehow.
Who is that? Is that Deep Cool that kind of has the inline pump on there?
There's a couple companies that have done inline pumps.
Yeah,
that we've seen before.
I'm sorry, was it Be Quiet, maybe?
Yeah, no, I don't
know. Somebody did.
Yeah, somebody did do it. Yeah, so interesting. We'll see if it comes out and if it's going to be in the American market. But I always like to see just like things that are a little different, you know? Even if it's, like you said, kind of clunky and maybe not as practical as like the Asetek made units, but pretty cool to see. The largest internal hard drive was announced recently from Seagate. This is their 30 terabyte XOX Mosaic 3 Plus. I know we don't talk about standard hard drives that much anymore, but this is the world's largest 30 terabytes. Do you think we're not excited about high capacity drives?
I still am.
Okay, well, I was gonna say, because we're not necessarily like doing so much, like we don't have as much media, like, you know, I'm not downloading MP3s,
you know. But there's a lot of people that are, like, there's a lot of people with, like, you know, still the home server, home hosted, like they don't want to be, they want self-hosted, like cloud drive storage, right? They don't want to be on Google Drive or you know, iCloud. They want to host their own, like, it's blanking from my mind right now, but like connect back to a server in their house for their cloud storage. That way they own it and they, you know, are in control of that data, you know, and have a large media library, and they don't want to either pay for a subscription to Netflix or Disney Plus or something, right?
It is true, because like I stream pretty much everything.
Right. So yeah, people that stream and just like don't care about having the actual library themselves.
Because that was like my big, thing when I went from, you know, even moving away from like SATA based SSDs to all NVMe storage. It's like when I first did that, my big worry was capacity. But then as the time went on, I was like, yeah, like I stream all my music. Like I don't, I stream all my shows, and I mainly watch YouTube anyways, you know? So it was like, it wasn't necessarily needed per se. And like, again, I back up all of my photos on like I have Amazon photo, cause I'm like Prime member. So you have like Amazon photos for free. Like, you know,
I wonder what the, like on the broad scale of things, like you just made me think of this. Like you said, you stream all your music, right? So how many times have you listened to like song X? Right. And so the infrastructure for you listening to that song that's hosted on, let's say, Spotify, like all the redundancy and server and network backbone that they like organize for their whole library, but which allows you to play that same song over and over. Like, what is the resource cost for that as opposed to you just having a bigger hard drive somewhere?
And
listening to it as many times as you want. You know?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't know how it works either. Like, are they caching that on my system or that, like, you know what I mean? Is that,
I doubt it.
Yeah. Like, is that because like, yeah. Cause I've been at places where like, I'm on some like really crappy Wi-Fi and I'm using like Spotify. And like, if I have started a song, even if I lose connection, like that song's downloaded and I can play it.
Sure,
I don't know if I can cache it
for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know how all that works, but yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, I mean, there is some like playlist that I just like play over and over and over and over again, and right. It would essentially cost less to me just to have my own.
Right, because you're powering all the switches along the way from whatever data center it's coming from. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
whatever. Just weird, you know, shower thought.
No, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. But in any case, 30 terabytes is now the new number for internal storage. So cool. can't wait till NVMe's get to 30 terabytes.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, all on your motherboard. Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. So we saw a lot of AI stuff at CES, and a lot of people were talking about it.
Yep.
And this Microsoft Copilot is going to be the AI companion for Windows. There's actually systems, there's going to be a button, like just like a Windows button.
I'm not happy about that, I don't think.
Yeah, because add in another button to my keyboard, which I don't need.
I'm looking at a Corsair keyboard that's, you know, 10 years old, but like, I guess you can get rid of one of my function keys or whatever this other key is, right? And replace it. But I don't like, I mean, I guess they dictated having a Windows button on the keyboard or a Windows key. Yeah. So I guess, I don't know. I've just been bugged by the need to change up keyboards for
A lot of companies were super excited to tell us that their laptop will have a Copilot key. So the minimum specs that you'll need to have Copilot, and I don't know if this is, it says the minimum memory requirement is 16 gigabytes of memory. Now, is that to run the thing? Or is that just so, like, if you're a company, say you're a Lenovo, and you have a laptop, it has to have 16 gigabytes of memory so you can put the key on the keyboard? Or is this just to run it? Because I know, like, I know this AI will, it will run on something that's slower. It's just going to take more time. So I don't know what the difference is. But I do like, we got some demos of these being used on certain systems. And I do have to say, especially for like non-everyday PC users, it can be extremely helpful, especially like if you go into system and like, especially when like Windows went from like, was it Windows Vista to like 10 or whatever? What was the change? Like Windows, whatever it was, where they like changed all of the settings and you had to like dig to find like the setting that you wanted. You can just open something like Copilot and be like, how do I change my resolution? Or how do I do this? And it will bring up that setting for you instead of, because even now, if you go to the search bar, like it's not great. Like,
yeah, they tried to do a lot of like online integration with search, which I never found worked well. Like you said, you know, when we were working with Lenovo, they showed us some of their integrated AI that they were doing. I don't remember if it was based on Copilot or worked with Copilot.
I don't think it was.
I don't think it was. I think it was their own piece, but whatever they were doing, like it was very helpful and like practical things that they were able to do with.
Yeah. And I really like that. Now, if this is always running in the background, not a fan. I want to be able to.
Like, I don't want it on until I. Yeah.
Until I turn it on or off or whatever that.
But it probably has to be like constantly monitoring so that it knows like the common things and quickest things. Who knows?
We'll see. But this is going to be the next thing. This is the next when, like you said, next Windows key is
the next 3D TVs.
Yeah, is the Copilot. So that is that you will need 16 gigabytes at least to have the key on the keyboard, and then maybe to run it too. I'm not sure.
Probably. Or recommended.
But yeah. But moving on to handhelds, we saw the MSI Claw at CES. Ryan got to play with it for a little bit. It looks like they already have a second one in the works. The first one's not even out yet, and apparently there's a next one in the works, which kind of makes sense because you do have to plan these things out years in advance. Yeah. But it's like already, like it hasn't even come out. You guys haven't even sold any yet. Claw 2 is in the works. I think in general these are going to be very popular. As much as Ryan and I we like our PCs and everything like that, I think for a lot of people these are going to be kind of extremely popular, so I think it's going to sell well for MSI. Second one's going to be coming out. But if you're not into the newer games and you want to play some older games, this was at CES apparently. You can get a mobile Atari now for $150. This was a collab between Atari and My Arcade. So this is a new handheld 7-inch screen. It will play Atari games. So this is what it looks like.
Okay.
If that's your thing, you know.
And it's only like $150, right?
Yeah.
Is it only Atari games though?
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Trackball, keypad. But like, yeah, like you can buy little emulation machines for cheaper. Ryan bought one.
I was gonna say, I've got one right here that I bought. Yeah.
Yeah. This one has the more like widescreen type thing.
Yes,
like the more traditional gaming handheld, like the current traditional gaming handheld form factor, I would say, but pretty cool. It's a lot of money to pay
for just Atari titles.
When again, you can get even one that looks like it has this form factor for like $100, even around the same price, that will play everything. That will play Sega.
I'm pretty sure this thing has Atari.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's like, I guess if you want it to look like this, but I do think that there's other options out there that are around the same price. Again, that will have a 7-inch screen and all of that. That will give you... I'm just trying to read to see if there was anything else that would make this worth more. But I think it's cool. I think these gaming handhelds are just becoming more and more popular. And like, again, especially with just like the one you have, like it's crazy that you can have all those games on just like that little, and it, I assume the performance in that is really good too. I didn't really get to play with it when you had it at CES. So
yeah, no, I've been happy with it.
Yeah. So I maybe I need to get one. We'll see. Now this was probably one of the coolest things that I've seen in a while, and big shout out to who did this. Let's bring up the video. This was by DIY Perks, which I had never heard of their channel. They have 4.4 million subscribers. Let me go to one of the coolest parts. But they took a PlayStation 5 and they turned it into a they made their own PlayStation 5 tablet. Took apart the PlayStation. So they actually showed, I watched this entire video and it's 18 minutes long, and I was like
into it the whole time.
Yeah, so this is basically the PCB of the PlayStation. That's the entire PlayStation minus the power and cooling, right? And they took it apart. Oh, let me see if I can. They take it apart, and like this is what kind of it all looks like with all the cooling and everything that's built into it. So they rebuilt the entire thing. They rebuilt the cooling system. They built their own, or they got their own heat pipes, and they made their own custom cooling system. They actually did their own nickel plating too, which I didn't know you could do at home, but they showed that you can do it at home. So like you see all of our, you know, we do CPU cooler reviews. You see like the nickel plated copper.
Yeah.
Like you can do that at home pretty easily too. Like they showed them doing it. Like, again, this video is 18 minutes long. I would highly suggest that you watch the whole thing. It's great. But like you can see how, let me see if I can drag this here. Like these are all heat pipes that they bought, and they did everything, and they started out with these fans, but these fans weren't giving enough cooling. And they, when they first did like put the system together with these fans, like it played for a little bit, and then it got like an overheating warning. So they upgraded to these other fans, these like really high performance fans that you find in laptops. They added some more cooling on this side, and it ends up, one, they were going to go with like a normal LCD, and then they went with like an OLED too a laptop, and it looks this is how small it is. Like it's an entire PlayStation 5 in this thing.
Yeah.
They made a custom sort of power supply for it as well. That's just like, you know, like the power supply that you would have for like a laptop. That's all it is. And it like it looks so good too. And it's just this small little device. It's one of the coolest things I've seen somebody do. Like one, you know, I'm sure there's tons of channels like this, and obviously we're so busy doing reviews and things that I don't really get to see all of this stuff. But it was, again, I watched all 18 minutes of this video, and I would suggest you do. We have it in the article. But yeah, they turned a PlayStation 5 into essentially a tablet that you can play on. So really awesome. And this is
that is pretty cool.
It fits in a backpack.
That they can cool it, right? Without it.
That was for me. For me, that was the coolest part, because it was like, you know, PlayStation 5s are like loud, and like they made it.
They're quiet. Big.
Yeah. And it's so big because it needs all that cooling. Like the fact that they were able to bring it down smaller.
Cool. Did they say it's very loud?
Oh, they have like a sound test and everything. And they did a sound test against like a current gen laptop, and it's quieter than that.
Oh, wow. I figured those fans would be pretty loud, but
it's really cool how they did all of it. I mean, it's like, you know, and for me, like the doing the like nickel plating and stuff that they did was super cool. I'm trying to see if I can find where they did that. Oh, there it is. So this is like, you just need like vinegar, and like he shows you how like you take the nickel plating like off a piece of nickel, you can take it off using whatever. And it, like I said, it's super cool how they did that everything. Yeah, really, like I said, really cool video. Like I was one of the first times I like watched a YouTube video, and I was one the entire time I was into it. Like I wasn't checking my phone or doing anything like that, but it was really impressive too what they were able to do. So like I said, shout out to DIY Perks. Check out their videos. Really, really cool. And again, we have the video linked in the article, and the article is, of course, in our show notes for this episode. So just really, really awesome there. But that is our news for the week. When are you going to build your own PlayStation 5 tablet?
Not anytime soon.
Yeah. No, that was super cool. I was like, you should check out the video. Like it's really, really cool. So. That is it for news for the week. Coming up next week, we have a review from Ryan. We haven't seen a review from Ryan for a little bit here. So Ryan hasn't been that long. I don't remember. Everything before CES is like a
blur. It's a blur. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ryan's checking out the ASUS ROG Ryogen 3 360 ARGB. He has the white version, which I linked the black version because I thought I didn't know he had the white version. But this has a awesome LCD screen on it. Is this first ASUS AIO you've taken a look at?
It is.
So yep. You'll have to tell us, you know, what you think fit finish compared to all the other ones. Absolutely. And of course, we're really interested.
It's got some cool features in that pump housing besides just the screen, right? We've seen screens before, but they've got some extra stuff there that's kind of cool.
Nice, nice. So really excited to see that. I, of course, will be taking a look at, I don't even know which one I'm getting because it's not here yet. Radeon RX 7600 XT card. I don't know if I'm getting I don't know. Do they have even a?
I don't know. I didn't pay it. I didn't read any of the 7600.
So I don't know which one I'm getting. Like I said, I'm checking. It's still not here. So yeah, still not here yet, but it should be here. So we'll have that for you guys next week. And then I'm also taking a look at a Gen 4 NVMe SSD. But when you think Gen 4, still, this is still a very fast drive. So this is the Lexar NM790, 7400 megabytes a second read, 6500 megabytes a second write. So still very, very fast. So I'll have that for you next week as well. As we come to the end here, of course, we talk about anything tech related. Do anything tech related, check out anything tech related, anything you want everybody out there to know about.
I don't think so. No. I still feel like I'm recovering with like stuff around the house from CES.
Yeah.
I still have some laundry to do from there. And
dang. Yeah. As soon as I got home, I just threw everything in
there. Threw it in the. Nope.
Yeah. I feel like I'm pretty like, I feel like I'm back. We back have, I have things. a lot of products into review. So I'll be very busy for a very long time. Also doing a really good job at, we've been posting like a lot of videos on social. So if you follow us on TikTok, Instagram, even on Twitter. X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, even on YouTube, we're doing a lot of short content, but of course we're going to try to keep up like once a week doing a long form video as well. I'm going to try to keep that up. And we have some cool videos coming out with that. But yeah, no, I feel like I'm like just back ready to just get a lot of stuff done. So I'm excited. And like a lot of the products that we do have in and coming in are really cool products too. A lot of the stuff that we did get to see at CES is already coming in. So just a lot of stuff going on. Really, really busy. Before we get into our question of the week, I did want to ask Ryan, like, are you excited? Like the Chiefs are, what is it? The champion, the
AFC
championship game is on Sunday, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I can't remember. So like a game on the Ryan's a big
Chiefs fan. I mean, they're playing against the Ravens. So I don't know. Like going into last weekend's game,
I thought they were going to lose that game.
I was ready to accept defeat, right? Like,
yeah,
I wasn't super confident. It turned out to be a pretty good game, though. I don't know if you watched it at all.
I watched parts of it. I watched the end where he missed the field goal.
Yeah, I feel so bad.
I was like, how do you? It wasn't that far of a field
goal. No, it wasn't. So I don't, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I always feel bad though when it comes down to the kicker and they miss, and it's like, the whole rest of the game.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that
so were not get in that position.
Yeah, yeah. To not.
So play the Ravens. I think the Ravens have the best chance of winning it all this year. So it'll be.
Did you see? I think I had sent you the thing where there's like a conspiracy theory about
about the colors of the
Ravens. It's going to be the Ravens and
probably the 49ers.
The 49ers,
the colors of the logo. Yeah,
yeah. So that's a big conspiracy theory. But yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. But of course, we do a question of the week as well. And I thought for this week, it's New Year. We're talking about new stuff, and I'm thinking about doing new stuff kind of around the office. Like, what's one thing that you would improve or you would change or you'd want to change about your current PC setup? Not your PC, but your overall setup, like a new desk or what would you want to do?
Desk size I'm fine with. Like, I've got a lot of real estate here, and I've got a bunch of space. I've been toying around, and I've probably said this forever, like, I'd like to, I don't know, experiment with different layouts of the room to get some different angles for like YouTube videos and different shots. I can do quite a few things in here with how it's laid out, so that may not change. I've been considering a ultra wide right? That would give a different look to the room.
That's a good thing to consider.
Productivity. But I do like my 3 monitor setup. I don't like have any real complaints there. Decluttering though is like
you have a lot of climbing. Look behind you. You got a lot of clutter.
There's a lot. Well, you can't see below this level, which is good because it's terrible. But if I showed you the desktop, there's the largest space of like free, like that's free of mess, is right next to my mouse, and it's like this much space.
Yeah, I always gotta. My problem is that I keep like most of this pretty clean, but if you go into the walk-in closet behind me, it is not
clean. But you can close that door, right? It's
no, but it needs to be cleaned and organized, and like I already started trying to like by what is it February, like by like March, I need to have like a lot of stuff cleared out of there. Like I have Z490 motherboards and things that like I just won't use, like get rid of or give away, or there's just like a lot of stuff.
I think it's just probably like in that location, because every time I've seen pictures of like your kitchen or your living room or bedroom area, like it always looks nice and clean and organized, right? Like if you're just containing it in that one area, I think you're good.
Yeah, that's not my upgrade. One of the upgrades that I've been wanting to do, I've just been putting it off because I'm just like, I don't want to spend like $150, but I want to get a new mic arm because I just have like the cheap $20-$25 mic arm, and like you have a nice one
this is a it. I have the Avermedia here as well, but I've been using it as like a secondary camera mount.
Okay, yeah.
Every now and then, because it's strong enough to hold the camera, so that's why I haven't moved over to using it for my mic. But yeah, I like it a lot for.
And I want to try to figure out, because this desk, I love this desk. It's big, it's like it's great, but I have you can't see it, but over here. I have like a set of drawers that has all my accessories and stuff. I actually want to put another desk there, but there's just not enough room. But I want to do a secondary setup where I can take pictures of like if we do monitor reviews or if I'm doing a system review where it's like it's actually like a setup. Because if I do a monitor review here, I essentially
take it all down.
I got to take it all down. It just doesn't look right. And it's like I want to get a secondary setup, but it's like, I have to like get rid of this desk, or like I don't know how I would do it, but I'm gonna figure out how get rid of this, maybe get a different tabletop for this desk that's not as long,
not as wide here,
so I can still have a testing desk and then a desk over here for like a setup or something like along those lines.
To your left is like there's a wall up against you on the left, right?
It's just a wall,
yeah, so it's not like you could do a setup along there,
yeah, so that's that's like the big plan, but I would like a nicer arm for that. But that would be my upgrade. So yeah, guys, that is basically it for the week here. Of course, thanks to everybody for coming out. We are going to jump over to Twitch, get some gaming in. I'm actually really excited to get some gaming in. We're not going to have Shinny this week again. Kind of sad that he's not playing with us. But if you want to keep on hanging out with us, it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan, of course, runs that stream. So again, as I always say, if the gameplay is bad, it's all just fun. Yeah. So we will be over there. Again, thanks everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.